All right. Well, welcome back to the EFCA Network podcast. We are trying to spread encouragement, spread some of the good infection of all the good things that are going on in the Evangelical Free Church. We are blessed today, along with our EFCA Network board members, to have Greg Strand, our National Director of Theology and Credentialing. And we are going to talk about credentialing, one of the best things that we do in the EFCA. So, Greg, just introduce this topic, why it's important, and how it matters to you.
Yeah. It matters to me because it's what I do. It's what I've done for the last 20 years. So thank you very much for that open door to be able to talk about that. Credentialing matters for a lot of reasons. You know, you can think about the individual, you can think about the church, you can think about the movement in more broadly. And you know, for virtually every discipline, every profession, there is some certification, recognition of capacity, capability, competency, etc. And we do that doctrinally and theologically. And so credentialing has been a part of the Evangelical Free Church almost from the beginning. Initially, it was actually done to protect churches from false teachers. There were traveling speakers, traveling preachers, and the credentialing was actually a piece, an aspect in which it gave sort of a affirmation to individuals that then they had known they actually were credentialed. So they went, when they came to another church traveling around, they were vetted. They had been proven to be approved workmen, if you will. So, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. Credentialing matters because in the Free Church, there are two boards that report directly to the conference. One is the board of directors. The other is the board of ministerial standing. Many don't know that, they just know the board of directors, but the board of ministerial standing reports directly to the conference, and our task is to oversee. So you ask about the importance of credentialing, and I'm eager to hear your responses too, but the task given to the board of ministerial standing is, and I read, preserve the doctrinal integrity of the EFCA and shall adjudicate all charges brought to it of doctrinal error among ministers. So, friends, if our theology, doctrine, remain tethered to the text, grounded in the gospel, matters, credentialing is a very important aspect of that. Here's the second part, and that is the Board of Ministerial Standing shall here investigate and adjudicate all charges brought to it of moral error among ministers, and shall prescribe appropriate discipline for those found guilty, and shall prescribe times and means of restoration where possible. So this is where the discipline and recovery church comes in. But all that to say, the Board of Ministerial Standing, through the credentialing process, oversees doctrinal integrity of the Free Church. That means individual pastors and ministers, churches, individual church and churches, of both doctrinal and moral matters. So in this day and age, I mean, it's always mattered. But in this day and age, to me, it's almost unthinkable that elders wouldn't require their vocational ministers, pastors, to be credentialed, or members wouldn't require their ministers to be credentialed. And so I don't want to convince somebody. I want them to be convinced. But I think it's a marvelous way of ensuring not just for the present health, but the future health of our movement as well. So I could go on forever, as you can tell, but I think those couple of issues are critical for us to consider, and not just in the past, but especially today. So I'm eager to hear from some of you others.
Yeah, let's run around and share a little bit. Personal stories. I'll kick it off here, and then we'll go around through the network board. But I was right out of undergrad, coming right out of a Christian university in Indiana called Taylor, youth ministry at my home church. I was filled with energy and excitement, and just ready to go on bike trips across Wisconsin and go rafting and play paintball. But you don't know what you don't know. And so I'm teaching and getting involved even in preaching in big church. And so about a year in, I started my licensing process and wrote my paper. And I'll never forget that licensing council sitting down, and one of the guys in it asked about Philippians 2. He used the word kenosis, which I had no idea what that was.
Philippians 2, verse 7.
and said, what did Jesus empty himself of? And that question had never even occurred to me. It would come up in working with middle schoolers. It would come up, you know, this explain the Trinity, you know, and figure that out. But the licensing process is what first identified that as a deficiency for me in my theology. And they gave me an assignment to write an extra 2-page paper to supplement my licensing paper. And that has provided, early in my ministry, provided tremendous and wonderful clarity about the Trinity, about Christology, and about the gospel. So that was an early gift for me of just starting the licensing process. Who wants to go next? Introduce yourself, say a little bit, just say who you are, where you are, and then why credentialing has been important to you.
I'm Bob Burris. I work for Training Leaders International. Go to Africa training pastors. Boy, just being on the ordination council helps me personally, sharpens me. And then it encourages me. These men say good things about the Bible and about God and about Jesus. And it's just wonderful to hear. So I'm encouraged as I listened. I think good doctrine, sound doctrine mattered to Jesus. He told the Pharisees, you know, you don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. So I would almost put those together in some kind of a, to say that as you understand the scriptures, you understand the power of God better, not only understand it, but are able then to, as you use the scripture, understand how God is working. So I tell you, when I get discouraged, I just look at that certificate. I've got it here. And I just say, there's a group of men in a church that said, just a huge encouragement.
My name is John Moschel. I serve a rural church in South Dakota. And I think I found in my own ministry that it is so important for me to be accountable and to submit to authority. God requires that of us. And the principal way that we do that in the Evangelical Free Church is through credentialing. That's where our accountability and our submission to authority comes from. I recall my credentialing when I first came to serve a church in South Dakota. I had no idea what I was doing, although I thought I did. And it was about a year later that someone told me that I needed to be licensed, and I had no idea. Somehow, going through seminary and then being called, that had entirely missed me, that message. And I began to work on my license, and then a few years later, ordination. And of all the things that I've ever done in ministry, I think my credentialing helped me work on my own accuracy and clarity when it came to the scriptures. And I'm so grateful for that. Thanks.
Yeah, I was credentialed almost 30 years ago, and the pastor I was serving with was very inclined to the whole process. And he insisted.
Tell us who you are and where you are, Paulo. This is going to be a podcast. That's okay. Only audio. So there you go.
Paulo Freire from New Jersey. I serve with the Evangelical Free Church for some 30 years now. I was determined to be credentialed because of the insistence of my senior pastor. He was very much inclined toward the whole process, and he didn't have to push me too hard. I actually enjoy the process very much so. I also very much am involved now and enjoy it thoroughly. To me, it's important for several reasons, but I'll just point out three. One is for a sense of belonging. A sense of belonging around what really matters, the Word of God. We come together, we embrace those particular truths which make us a family. Also, there's accountability, which has been mentioned already. Accountability that will help the health of the EFCA to persevere. And along with belonging, also there's camaraderie. I get along with many other men, but there's various reasons why we get together. Other interests, but the greatest interests are those around the Word of God, and the camaraderie that's developed there is unparalleled. And I truly appreciate the fact that we can come together and be people who are echoing the same truths from God's Word. It's wonderful, actually.
Hi, this is Mike Davis. Director of Mobilization with Reach Global. And in 1992, I walked through those doors at 901 and was approved as a missionary. And shortly after, a couple guys in Central California, Dan Grell and Steve Elliott, said, hey, you should get licensed. So I followed that process and got licensed. And I didn't grow up in the Free Church. And I went to a Baptist seminary. So it was a good time for me. I had written papers in preparation for these sort of things and was prepared. But it was a good time to me to see, do I match up? Where do I lack? How does the Free Church maybe think differently or go about it differently? So that started my journey. I just really appreciate the encouragement early to do the licensing and then the pushing as I was licensed for maybe too long without being ordained to go through the ordination. So that was good for me to be pushed in that way and to have people that cared right from the start.
Well, Carrie Doyle, District Superintendent, the Allegheny District, and this may be a strong word, but there's an aspect, I think, of integrity that if a guy is going to pastor a Free Church, but not make himself, you know, formally aligned and even accountable to the Free Church, that begs some questions to me. If you're going to be a Free Church pastor leading a church that's identified with the Evangelical Free Church of America, it seems to be almost a matter of consistency that you'd say that I need to be a Free Church pastor, and i.e. go through licensing and ordination. And Greg mentioned earlier the idea of credentialing. I tell people when I try to explain this, they go, oh, what's the importance of this? So when two engineers meet and they find out both have been certified, they know certain things about that other guy or gal right away. And I would hope that our credential always would have that. I meet a guy who says he is ordained with the Free Church, and I know he's gone through the rigors of that and has had a stamp for folks who have, maybe years ago, said, yes, indeed, you are one of us. And then hopefully a church that's maintained that connection with him and he with that church that would keep that certification, that credibility stamp active. And so to me, it's almost a matter of integrity. You're going to pastor a Free Church, then become a Free Church guy.
My name is Chi Ying Yuan. My name is Amazing Grace. I was a pastor kid, and I and my wife came from Hong Kong. We all graduated from EV Bible College in Hong Kong. And then when I came, when we came to USA to continue study to serve the Lord, and I continue church planting in a EV church. And remember, when I go through the process to be ordained, at that moment it's a super confirmation. So for me, throughout the years, credentialing and then also to be ordained is the process of confirmation from above, confirmation about God's calling. And then I still remember at the time, the president of EV Bible College, who also the father for our dean of text, Dr. David Bao, President Dr. John Bao, he came all over from Hong Kong to be part of my ordination ceremony. It's such a great experience to see from district staff, from local leaders, they kind of be an instrument to confirm your call to serve your whole life. So now when I see anyone, also when I partake in any ordination council, I'm one of the instruments from God to encourage that pastor, your call to serve the Lord whole life.
If I could add, because this particular question, I remember the licensing. Actually, for when we graduated from Trinity Divinity School with an MDiv, one of the classes you took was writing this paper, and PT7415. Actually, I teach that class now. But the final assignment was writing a credentialing paper. It was a paper that you would write for the ministry license. So it worked well for me, such that when I graduated and then was called into ministry the first local church, I simply submitted my ministry license paper, and in 3 months we had a council, and it was wonderful. But I'll also then tell you, I mean, it was just delightful. It won't surprise you, but in the ordination council, we had probably 25 people at the ordination council that I had, and we went 4 hours, and they were ready to end, and I thought, are we done already? I've got a whole lot more to say. And you know, it's in the providence of God, the kind providence of God, you know, no one at that council 30 plus years ago would be surprised that this is what I do today.
That's beautiful. Well, any other brief injections here for anything we missed or anything you'd like to add about the value of credentialing? Because, yeah, just hearing that from Greg reminds me too of sitting in, I think the last council I sat in was up at in the Villages at Live Oaks for my associate pastor, Jason. And probably 20 people in the room, some ordained, some lay people. But to me, one of the beautiful things about those councils is the application of the truth. You're getting the truth and the clarity, but then the application of it, and people who have been in ministry a long time, just talking through the, here's how this is going to happen as you interact with someone who's having trouble in their marriage or someone who's dealing with an addiction. And so I just love the sharpening that comes with not just knowing the truth, but applying the truth. What else comes to mind for you guys that value credential?
Well, I would like to say that we ask those who are getting their license and CCM and ordination to write a paper organized around our statement of faith. And I have seen in recent years how valuable that has been. Our statement of faith is a wonderfully organized presentation of biblical and systematic theology. And it helps people think through their theology in ways that benefit them their whole lives. So I really appreciate that.
Let me add this, because I think it puts the two together. And that is, Darren, what you said, and John, what you said, that is, it's biblical, or what John says is the doctrine, biblical faithfulness, fidelity, but there's also the pastoral application. And as you know, when you read the text, you're saying, what does this text mean? So you start with, sorry, big word, exegesis, right? And then you it in how was this understood in the Reformation? So now you're at historical theology, aren't you? But then you don't end there. You also then would say, and what's the significance of life? That's pastoral theology. That's the application. And whether we know that or not, that's precisely what we're helping people to think through. The other thing I would say is this: the context in which we engage in this process is the ground of doxology is theology. And the fruit of theology is doxology. And so the context in which we do this and engage in ministry and study the scriptures and theology is worship of God. And that's a wonderful thing. So if we can put our writing of our ministry license and ordination in the context of worship, what better thing? What greater privilege?
And I'll add to that, noting that it's also a boost to our confidence as we seek to do ministry. You know, ministry can be overwhelming at times, and sometimes we look at the results and we say, well, they're just not what we anticipated. But I look at these certificates that are given, the ones that I was given by the Board of Ministerial Standing, and I'm reminded that I have been examined. I do know what I'm talking about, and that I have been affirmed in my ability to know and communicate the scriptures. And now I go out and do it. And these certificates remind me again and again of God's calling in my life and my equipping. It's been affirmed by the brethren. And that's great.
I want to echo Paul's, where you mentioned, you know, you're looking at a certificate. I'm thinking about just like being laid hand, you know, just like Timothy. that kind of strong conviction keeps in your heart.
Darren, you ask a group of pastors or ex-pastors if they have anything to add. Francis Bacon said, reading makes a full man, conversation a ready man, and writing an exact man. And that's the kind of men we need to be.
That's good. Yeah, there's a lot more. We could keep going. You're right. It's a dangerous call here with all these pastors on. But Greg, briefly walk us through the how. Maybe you can touch on it from a national, and then Paolo or John or somebody can talk about it from the district.
Glad to do it. I like to describe it as a three-legged stool. And that's the local church, the district, and the national. It is a national credential, and it's a national credential that's given in trust by the conference, the delegates of the conference. And so one needs to be in a qualifying ministry. So one's, let's just say, for example, one's called to in the context of ministry in a local church. At that point, we would encourage that individual to communicate with the district. So since we have Paolo on here and he serves in this role of overseeing credentialing formally for EFCA East, they would contact Paolo and he would then direct them to the right place and to on the website and guide him through the process. And then at that point, a person would write the paper. And if it's a minister license, it's 15 to 20 pages. And so that begins the process that would be submitted to the district. There would be a council. This is just brief, a council that would be planned, meeting with the three, four other pastors to be asked about. And it gives the individual, the candidate, the opportunity to articulate. And who doesn't want to talk about what we believe? It's a wonderful thing. And then at that point, there are either things to affirm or things to grow in. And once it's affirmed at that point, recommended to send to the national office, we will then process it here. And from here, then we would grant a board of ministerial standing. We would grant a ministry license or a certificate of Christian ministry or a certificate of ordination. And so that's the bigger process. And it's a three-legged stool. The local church knows the individual, the character best. Better than the middle stool, the district or the national, oftentimes. But who knows the doctrine and theology, the expectations? Well, the district and the national. And so that's why I like to look at it. We're not in competition with one another, but we are a three-legged stool that work together in affirming individuals with a credential.
That's great. Very good. Okay. I guess we're running out of time here. So Bob, maybe let me just call on you to pray for us and pray for anyone and this whole issue of credentialing. We'll wrap up with prayer.
Father, we're so grateful that you sent your son to rescue us from ourselves and from the wrath of God. And Father, we hold these truths as the closest and the most treasured truths of our lives. And Father, we want others to believe these things and to love the Lord Jesus Christ also. And so, Father, we ask as we interact with folks and as they listen to this podcast, that they would fall in love with the Savior too and work to hone their doctrine and their teaching and their lives so that you would be glorified. So, Father, we ask that you would help us. We need your help. We ask that you would move in the hearts of those who need credentialing and that your name would be praised, the scriptures and the doctrines therein would be understood clearly, and that you would bring us to heaven rejoicing in what you have done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.